Death is a terrible enemy, because it is death that destroys the tranquility, the joy and the union of a home, and robs a family of a cherished loved one. It severs, at least on this side of eternity, a family circle. It leaves behind in its wake a widow bereft of her husband, a husband of his wife, children of a parent. One preacher said that death has no heart of compassion. His flinty heart feels for none. He spares neither young nor old. It was man's last enemy, death, that plunged the happy home that we meet here in 2 Kings chapter 4 into deep sorrow. Sorrow because the only son of that home was snatched away by death without warning so unexpectedly. You see, what had happened was that that young boy had gone out into the harvest field to help his father in the bringing in of the harvest crop. However, the biblical narrative records that the boy started to take unwell whilst out in the field, complaining of a sore head, and so the father sends him back home to his mother by the hand of one of his servants. As with any mother, she tries to console her sickly son, nursing him on her knees and doing all that she can in order to nurture him back to his needed health and strength. However, as the morning progresses, things take a turn for the worst, so much so that at noon, that boy, the only son of the home, dies. What would she do? Well, the record of 2 Kings 4 tells us that she takes him into that little annex that she had built for the prophet Elisha, and she lays him on the bed and closes the door upon him. She then makes her way to God's servant, hoping and trusting that he, as God's servant, would be able to do something to reverse the tragic events that had just occurred and unfolded within her home. However, before she gets even to Elisha, the man of God already has spotted her and sends a servant, Gehazi, to meet her. But before Gehazi is dispatched, the prophet Elisha instructs him with what to say whenever he meets that sorrowing and broken-hearted mother. It is the words that Elisha gave to Gehazi that I want to lift out of their immediate context and bring gospel challenge tonight as we come to another Harvest Thanksgiving weekend and the concluding message of that weekend. The words to which I refer you to are found in the verse 26 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Taking those three questions that Gehazi asked this distraught mother and changing the order just a little, I want to preach a message that I've simply entitled, Is It Well? Is It Well? The first question from our text that we want to consider this evening is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy husband? Now, the Hebrew word that is used here for husband can also be justly translated man. Is it well with thy man? And so I want to address, first of all, every man in this place tonight, along with every boy and every male teenager who aspires to be a man someday. Let me ask you the question, is it well with you? Is it well with you? Now, when I'm asking the question, is it well with you? I'm not asking you tonight, is it well with your health? You may have been to the doctor recently and had your cholesterol levels checked, your blood pressure measured, your heart rate taken, and the doctor has given you a clean bill of health. But I'm not asking you tonight, is it well with your health? I'm not asking you, is it well with your finances tonight? You know, your bank account might be well into the black. Your debts have been paid. The mortgage payments are nearing their last installment. The car payments are coming to an end. You've even a little nest egg building up for your retirement. And so all is probably well with you tonight with respect to your finances. I'm not asking you, is it well with your finances tonight? I'm not asking you, is it well with your business? Other businesses went to the wall over the period of downturn within our economy. Your business managed to stay afloat. And although you may not be making much of a profit these days, the future is just a little brighter than what it was. All is well within the business. But I'm not asking, is it well with your business tonight? I'm not asking you, is it well with your marriage tonight? All may be well. And then on the other hand, maybe all is not well. Rows and fights are a common occurrence between you and your spouse. There's even been talk of even divorce with respect to coming to a place of no return within that marriage. And so maybe tonight all is not well with respect to your marriage tonight. But I'm not asking you, is all well with your marriage? I'm not asking you, is all well with your investments? Shrewdness has maybe marked your investments in the past, and now you're about to receive a nice little windfall from them, and so all is well with your investments. But I'm not asking you about investments tonight. I'm not asking you, is all well with your family? All may be well. Again, all may not be well. You know, there may be sons and daughters whose lives within your family is out of control. There's one and they're addicted to some illegal substance. There's another and they're cohabiting with another person out of wedlock. And then there's another one and they have a child to one person and another child to a different person. And so it certainly isn't little life or little house on the prairie with respect to your family tonight. All may not be well within your family, but I'm not asking you, is all well with your family? Not asking you, is all well with the farm? You might have a profitable farm to your name. You may have pedigree livestock in the fields, the newest farm machinery sitting in the yard, large silos and large grain stores, the latest automatic milking parlor, the most high-tech piggery that is available. And so all may be well with respect with you, with respect to your farming. But for others, it might be contrary to that. You know, there might be for you tonight harvest sitting in waterlogged fields. Though milk prices continue to squeeze your margins, pigs are hard to shift at the right prices because of a flooded market. And so all may not be well in your farm tonight, but I'm not asking you about your farm. You see, folks, I'm not primarily interested in your health tonight because I'm not a doctor. I'm not primarily interested in your finances tonight because I'm not a bank manager. I'm not interested primarily in your business tonight because I'm not a potential investor. I'm not interested primarily in your marriage tonight because I'm not a marriage counselor. I'm not primarily interested in your investments tonight because I'm not a stockbroker. I'm not primarily interested in your family tonight because I'm not a social worker. I'm not primarily interested in your farm tonight because I'm not a farmer. But what I am primarily interested in tonight is your soul because I am a Christian. Not a preacher. Not an evangelist. I'm just a Christian concerned about your soul. And so with that in mind tonight, my question to every meal within the house of God tonight, is it well with your soul? Your soul. Now, mankind likes to invest time and energy and finances to beautify and to pamper and to dress in order to maintain the body, but gives little or no consideration to the fact that the body is not the only constituent part of man. Though immaterial and unseen by the natural eye, within every human being, God has placed a never-dying soul. That soul will either live in God's heaven or in God's hell. It is as real as your hands. It is as real as your heart. It is as real as your brain. It is as real as your lungs within your body tonight. Though unseen, it is just as real as those things that we can see. And that soul will either live in God's heaven or in God's hell. And tonight I ask you again the question, is it well with that part of your body or your being tonight? For what would it matter if all was well with the body, but your soul was still stained by sin? Lord Jesus Christ asked the question in Mark 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is all well with the soul tonight, man? That's what I'm asking. Well, can I tell you from my reading of Scripture, and because of man's disobedience at the fall and its subsequent fallout, I want to remind you that all is not well with man's soul. All is not well, naturally speaking. The Bible clearly reveals that the soul of man, the soul of woman from birth, is contaminated because of sin. It is held captive to sin. It is culpable of sin, and it is controlled by sin. And so that soul of yours needs to be saved. Saved. Saved from what? Saved from God. What do you mean, preacher? Saved from God. God is angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God burns against sin, and the sinner who holds to that sin becomes the object of divine wrath. The wrath of God abideth upon the sinner. And so, sinner, you need to be saved from God. Holy God, who at any moment could damn your soul into a Christless eternity. You need to be saved from God. You need to be saved from wrath. And you need to be saved from sin. Yes, your sin. Your violation of God's law. So let me ask you, has your soul been saved from sin? I'm not asking you, have you made some sort of profession of faith in the past, but at the present time you still love your sin, you still facilitate your sin, you still excuse your sin, you still indulge in your sin, you still run to your sin, you still revel in your sin? That's not salvation. That's sham. That's pretense. That's not the genuine thing. Oh, I'm asking you, have you known the supernatural working of God, the Holy Ghost, within the soul whereby you abandon your sin because you hate your sin, because you abhor your sin, because you recognize that that sin crucified the Prince of Glory? That's what your sin did. Crucified the very Prince of Heaven, the very King of Glory. Have you known anything of the Holy Spirit's working within your soul, whereby all things pass away and all things have become new? Can I ask you, is your soul at peace with God tonight? Is your soul at peace with God? Have you committed the keeping of that soul of yours to God Himself? Is all well with your soul? I confront you again, every man in this house tonight. Is it well with your soul? Because I want to say something. Husband, it needs to be with respect to your wife. It needs to be. And let me say, it needs to be with respect to your children. Your wife needs it to be well with your soul. And your children need it to be well with your soul. And your country needs it to be well with your soul. And thank God it can be well. When you divorce from your sin, you abandon your sin fully and completely, and you cast yourself upon the mercy of God. Oh, that men would in this meeting come, allow themselves to come face to face with the fact of their sin, and that Christ's work on Calvary's cross is the only way that that sin of yours can be blotted out. Is it well with thy husband? In the second place, I want you to ask the question, is it well with the child? Is it well with the child? Too often, preachers overlook teenagers and young people and children who gather into gospel meetings such as this. Of times, the preacher's appeals are often directed to those who are of more advanced years, knowing that on the natural time scale, time at least for those individuals is fast running out. Our brother has already mentioned that. And yet, can I say that an event in recent weeks has impressed very heavily upon my heart the need to appeal to those who are in their childhood and those who are in their youth to make sure that all is well with your soul. Isabel Anderson was just 10 years of age. But on Tuesday, the 19th of September this year, Isabel was out playing in the playground of Dromore Central Primary School. It's a school that my wife works at. Isabel collapsed in the playground after uttering the words, "My heart, my heart." The school's first aiders and ambulance crew were able to resuscitate her there within the playground, able to get her transferred to the Royal Victoria Hospital, only for little Isabel to die the following day. Because the proverb is true, the old must die, the young may die. Life is as uncertain for the young as it is for the old. None of us, young or old, are to boast ourselves of tomorrow. The hospital wards within our hospitals tonight are as full of children and young people as they are of those of old age. Death is near us all. It was David who said to Jonathan, "There is but a step between me and death." And Bible commentators believe that Jonathan was 25 to 28 years David's senior. And yet death seemed to be nearer to the younger man David than it was to the older man Jonathan, because it was David who said the words, "There is but a step between me and death." And so young people and boys and girls, your parents may be saved and all may be well with them, but what about you? Is it well with your soul? Knowing what is right and what is wrong, what God permits and what God prohibits, makes you as accountable to God for your life of sin as the oldest person within the meeting tonight, and therefore you stand in need of God's salvation as much as anyone else. And so I would encourage you tonight, no matter what age you are, no matter how young you may feel, oh, trust in Christ. If tonight finds you sensible of your sin, if you're aware of your sin, if you're troubled about your sin, if you're convicted about your sin, then come to Christ and be saved. For there's many a person in this house tonight, many an older person, and they felt God speak to them, and they felt God's Spirit strive with them, and they felt troubled in meetings such as this, and they felt convicted of their sin, and they said no to the Spirit, and now they're in this meeting and they're still not saved. I'm speaking about you. You. You who heard the gospel call and promised that you would to Christ in middle age, and middle age has passed, and now then you promised that you'd come to Christ in retirement years, and now you're retired, and you're closer to the grave, and you're closer to eternity, and you're closer to hell, and you're still not saved. Harvest passed, summer ended, and still not saved. Will you ever be saved? That's my question. Will you ever be saved? Oh, that you would be saved tonight. What about you, teenager? Is it well with you? I'm not asking you, have you got the latest iPhone X or 10? I'm not asking you what type of trainers you have, if you have the latest thing that has been launched onto the fashion market. I'm not asking you, have you got a nice fancy car in the car park tonight? For none of those things matter. None of those things matter. What will it matter 1 second after you die whether you had the latest iPhone or not? It'll matter not. It'll not matter about your car. It'll not matter about your fashion. It'll matter not about your handbags or your shoes. All that will matter was that you were in Christ and you were saved and you were born again of the Spirit of God. So I'm asking you, is all well with your soul? Young person tonight, I fear for some that a childhood profession is only that, an empty, worthless, hollow profession. I say your disinterest in spiritual things, your demeanor as the hymns were sung tonight. I looked at you. I saw you. I saw your disinterest. Ah, yes, your wandering mind, your easy distraction by others and services such like that, your modest or your music taste, your immodest dress. Yes, your immodest dress. I've said it. Your ungodly relationships, I tell you, they are all concerning traits. All concerning traits that are telltale signs that all is not well. All is not well with you. Teenager, you can only answer the question, is it well? What if some fatal illness was to take you? What if some road traffic or farming accident was to cut you off and take you out into God's great eternity? What if you, like Isabel, just dropped in the school playground tomorrow? Where would you be? Would the minister of Bethany Free Presbyterian Church be able to offer any words of comfort to your broken-hearted father or mother with regard to your soul's salvation if death came so unexpectedly? Would he or would some other believer be able to point to some Christian grace that seemed to evidence that a genuine work of God had been wrought within the soul? Would there be any indications within your Bible? Maybe some underlined verses, some message notes, some date recording your conversion in one of its cover pages. Would there be anything in your Bible? Some straw of comfort that would help those grieving loved ones of yours to come to terms with your death? Is it well with the children here tonight? Is it well with the teenagers here tonight? We come to the third and to the final question that is asked in our text. Is it well with thee? This was the first question that was asked by Gehazi to this unnamed woman, indicating it to be the most important of the questions asked because it brought the matter home on a personal level. Is it well with thee? That question is a question that then encompasses everyone within this meeting house this evening, regardless of age, regardless of gender. That question is a question that encompasses one and all. For it is a personal question, a question that cannot be evaded, a question that cannot be avoided, one that must be answered by all. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? You who are in your early years of life, is it well with thee? Those of you who are in the prime of your life, is it well with thee? Those of you who are in the middle years of life, is it well with thee? Those of you who have more years behind you than in front of you, is it well with you? Let me ask every boy, every girl, every teenager, every young adult, every older man, every older woman in this place, has the matter of your soul's salvation been settled by you and God? When it is time to say farewell to this world, will heaven or will hell's citizens welcome you into the next? Think of that. Is all well between you and the God of heaven? Can I say, folks, that there's nothing confusing? There is nothing cryptic. There is nothing complicated about this message or these questions tonight. The youngest listener fully understands what we're trying to aim at tonight. The most uneducated person in this meeting place this evening can fully comprehend the question, is it well with your soul? Let me be very frank and very direct. You may say, you already have been, but let me be even more frank and even more direct. Tonight, your soul hangs in the balance. That precious, never-dying, eternal soul hangs in the balance between God's heaven and God's hell. So forget about your family. Forget about your friends. Forget about your work colleagues. Forget about your schoolmates. Forget about your neighbors. Forget about even the person that sits beside you in the pew tonight, and answer this question honestly. Is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Forget about yesterday. And forget about tomorrow. And even forget about the remaining moments of this day on the 2nd of October 2017. And in the moment that you are now found, ask yourself the question, is it well with my soul? Is it well with my soul? Have your sins been put away by the blood of Christ? Can you say with the hymn writer, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Oh, that tonight you would be able to say by faith, as this woman was able to say by faith, it is well. It is well. How can it be well with my soul? Having been born with a soul polluted by sin, how can this soul of mine be well? Is that the questions you're asking? Because I tell you, those are good questions to ask. Well, let me say in the first place that there is nothing that you can do to make that sin-sick and sin-stained soul of yours well. Church attendance, saying of prayers, the reading of Bible, the giving of money to the church, the performance of good works, the participation in pilgrimages, the doing of penance, the living of a moral life, being a good citizen, being baptized, taking communion, being confirmed. None of those things will bring your soul into a right standing with God. Understand it well. The only way that that sin-stained soul of yours can be well is whenever you accept God's free and great salvation that is freely offered to you tonight in the gospel. Let me remind you that though the salvation is freely offered to you, it was purchased at highest cost. It took a perfect life to be lived and an equally perfect sacrifice to be offered up in death to secure salvation from sin. Now, while none of Adam's fallen race could live such a life or offer up such a perfect sacrifice, one stepped from outside history and he stepped into history to do what no other person in history could do. That one was Jesus Christ, the perfect, spotless, sinless, impeccable, holy, flawless, faultless Lamb of God. He became the Lamb. He became a man, yet never ceasing to be God, God and man, in the unique person of Jesus Christ. And as he lived in this world, he gave full and complete obedience and compliance to the law of God. And then at the age of 33, after having lived that perfect, spotless, flawless, impeccable life, he took a journey outside the citadel of Jerusalem to offer up himself as a sacrifice for sin and to suffer on the cruel cross. And oh, what sufferings he endured! The Puritan Ralph Vanning said, He suffered in every part and member of his body from head to foot. His head, which deserved a better crown than the best in the world, was crowned with thorns. His face suffered being spat upon. His back was turned to the smiters, was stripped and whipped. Indeed, they even plowed his back and made it deep and long with furrows. His hands and feet were pierced and nailed to the cross. Indeed, he says through the prophet, "All my bones are out of joint," as if he had been on the rack. He suffered also in his senses. His feeling could be smitten, wounded, nailed and pierced without feeling. His taste suffered, for instead of strong wine and drink of consolation, which they used for men ready to die, they gave him vinegar and gall to drink. His sight suffered, and among other things, the sight of his mother and other grieving friends could not but affect his heart. It was a grief to him to see them grieve for him. It did not afflict him to see his enemies wag their heads. His hearing suffered many a scoff and jeer, many an ill word and blasphemy. His smell could not but suffer when he came to the place of the skulls where filthiness and putrefaction lodged, the very stinking sink of the city. Head, face, hands, feet, side, sight, hearing, smell, all suffered for you, and for me. They were but his physical sufferings. What about his soul suffering? My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. There on the cruel cross, he offered up his soul to become the very crucible into which God would pour in infinite wrath, diluted and concentrated into 3 solid hours of darkness, where Christ became the great sin bearer, the great sin offering, the one who became my substitute, the one who bore my guilt, my sin, my shame. He suffered for me. And he suffered for you so that it could be well with your soul. It took the death of the infinite one to make it well with your soul. As I close, let me ask you, have you trusted then in that work, his work, his finished work to the saving of your soul? Have you come to that point, that juncture in your life? And this is where you need to get to. If you're not a Christian here tonight, you need to get to this place in your life where you will happily forsake your sin and believe the gospel to the well-being of your soul. Are you able to say, in light of death and coming judgment, that, as this woman said, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? Can I say, folks, there are only 2 answers to that question. Either it is well, or it is not well. That's it. And so which answer will you give? As I ask for one final time, is it well with thee? Is it well with thee? Well, that tonight it would be. Because you have put the keeping of your soul into the hand of your faithful Creator. And you have come by the way of the cross. For that's the only way that all can be well with your soul. Is it well with thee? May God be pleased to help you to answer that question honestly. In light of coming judgment, may you say, "It is well." it as well. May God be pleased to bless his word to our hearts.